The scripture for this morning's meditation is taken from the lection that we've just heard, verse 29, Jesus' words to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed." Here ends the scripture reading. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John's account in this section is not so much an indictment against Thomas because of his unbelief, as it is perhaps more an added witness to our Lord's own patient and persistent concern for his own and for his loved ones, because Jesus showed himself to his disciples for a reason, so that they might surely believe. Jesus showed himself to his disciples so that we who have not seen might have that repeated and unmistakable witness to our Lord's resurrection. Jesus showed himself so that we might believe. "These things have been written that you might believe," John writes. And so Jesus showed himself to his disciples. He cultivated in them a conviction in himself. Notice how the apostle actually pairs seeing with believing in this account of the resurrection. The first to see and believe was that other disciple, presumably John. Remember when the report came to the disciples that the tomb was empty, how Peter and this other disciple ran to the tomb. And it was after the other disciple went in, when we read, "He saw and believed." In the next verse, "For they did not yet understand the scriptures that he must rise again." The second to see and believe was Mary Magdalene, as she stood weeping outside the tomb, and Jesus showed himself to her and comforted her. And what was her report to the disciples? "I've seen the Lord." And then Jesus appeared to all of the disciples, except for Thomas, of course. And listen to their report. "We've seen the Lord." And then there's the report, the account of the doubting Thomas. And Jesus again showed himself to Thomas in the most vivid way, placing Thomas's hands and his fingers on the very scars of our Lord's resurrection. The Lord indeed showed himself to his disciples. He indeed blessed them with belief. And then he sent them out that they might bear witness of that resurrection, so that we might believe through their word. After Jesus had shown his hands and his side, he said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you." That's how we might read these words of Jesus to Thomas when he said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those not seeing and believing." Thomas was indeed blessed because he had seen Jesus. He was blessed with faith. Certainly, Jesus also laid on Thomas, if not explicitly, then implicitly, the responsibility to bear witness to that resurrection when he said, "Blessed are those not seeing and believing." And notice that the faith exhibited by Thomas is precisely that faith with which the Lord would bless you and me. It's the faith which we know by the confession, "My Lord and my God." Repeatedly, Jesus showed himself to his disciples to firmly establish the reality of the resurrection. And repeatedly, we have that unmistakable witness to the resurrection. And by that witness, the Lord would cultivate in us that blessed faith. And so we who have not seen, we have nevertheless believed. It wasn't because of the disciples belief that the Lord showed himself to him. Nor was it because of our worthiness on our part that the Lord gave us faith and showed himself to us in the scriptures. Surely we were born in sin and unbelief and without hope in the world. And yet the Lord chose us to be his own, to serve under him, to share in the blessings of his resurrection. We still have times of doubt. Need we mention, for example, the inclination to ask at times, where is Jesus anyway? If I could only see Jesus personally, then I know I would really be equipped for the ministry. If I could just see Jesus personally, then I would have an unshakable faith. Certainly, there is a legitimate thirst and hunger to see the Lord face to face. As the Apostle Paul said, I would rather die and be with Christ. But too often, Satan would turn that thirst into an occasion for temptation. And yet the Lord is patient, very patient, to carry us on into faith, a stronger faith, from fear into courage, from doubt to belief. That's why he would have us to look repeatedly back at that resurrection and contemplate the blessings that our Lord would give us. It's not enough that on one occasion out of the year we celebrate and think about Easter, but repeatedly God would have us tap those resources with which he's provided us. God in his mercy would forever feed us on the good news that Christ is risen indeed. God in his mercy would nurture our faith with what that resurrection means, that we are truly reconciled to God, that we are truly forgiven in his name, that we truly have life in his name, or that the words of Jesus are indeed true when he said, behold, I am with you always. Or when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Or when he said, because I live, you shall live also. God would continually and repeatedly convey to you and me these blessings of Christ's triumphant revival. Though we have not seen, nevertheless, we have been blessed indeed. There is another application that we might draw from these words of our Lord. Although we haven't seen the Lord as the disciples did in the flesh, still we can draw a parallel between them and ourselves. Because as students of the Word, as servants of the Word, and future servants of the Word, the Lord has given you and me a very special opportunity for contact with himself. It's a contact that we have through the Word. Few people have such a full-time contact with the Word, an opportunity for saturation in the Word as does the pastor or the seminarian. And one might expect that with that special contact, we might have a special measure of faith. With that special contact with the Word, there is also the special responsibility. Many would look upon the pastors as well as seminarians as men of God. People will look to you for inspiration. The Lord has therefore laid upon our shoulders with this special opportunity, with contact in the Word, he has laid upon our shoulders the responsibility of convincing and fortifying others in the faith, to be an example to others of what it means to believe. Jesus showed himself to his disciples so that they could mightily proclaim the gospel and bear witness to Jesus. And so he would give us this very special opportunity. for contact with the word, that we might enthusiastically and boldly give to others and help others who have not seen the Lord. Help them to know and to love their Lord. We haven't seen, but the Lord has indeed blessed us with a very special saving faith. May others in turn be blessed through us because of the special opportunities that God has given us as students of the Word, as servants of the Word, and future servants of the Word. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.